Earlier today, the polarizing former reality TV star celebrated Cinco de Mayo by posting a picture of himself eating a taco bowl, exclaiming, "I love Hispanics." As many already know, Trump began his presidential bid with some disparaging comments about Mexican immigrants, and now that he's inching closer and closer to the Oval Office, he's making a desperate attempt to win back their favor. I have a feeling he's gonna have to do a lot more than pose with the taco bowl. According to the most recent Gallup poll, 77% of Hispanic voters have a, quote, unfavorable view of the Donald. His attempt to celebrate Cinco de Mayo is not going over well with the public, who quickly fired back. Of course, Donald Trump eats taco bowls, the only Mexican food that comes with a wall built around it. Now that Trump's shown he loves Hispanics by eating a taco bowl, I can't wait for the inevitable halal cart "I love Muslims" Twitter post. Even Hillary Clinton...
Where's my cake? You promised me my cake!
Days of Halloween special Cake Wolf Happy Hour. I am your host, Cake Wolf. I am joined with Cake Bitch.
Hey.
For this 31-day extravaganza, thanks to Mr. Darian Brock, Mr. Buddy, and Miss Monica of the Padded Room Podcast, paddedroom.podbean.com. Check out their show for some crazy zany horror antics.
So, we are powering through.
Yeah. We are today covering two episodes from Season 3, episodes 3 and 4 from Season 3. There are only 24 episodes in Season 3, and then we will be closing out this 31 days of Halloween. And yeah, I'm pretty excited to move on to these episodes. I feel like they were fucking spectacular.
Spectacular. They
And spectacular. Both of those words.
Yeah. Season three is making up for all of the shit I had to sit through for season two. Yep. Like, I'm surprised that they renewed them after the second season. There just was not that much strong in there.
Yeah, they must have had some laziness going on there, and then they were like, oh shit, we barely made it by the skin of our teeth. We're gonna have to up our game. And they sure did. So far, it's pretty much on a high note, I would say. And these two episodes really, I would say, showcase the horror anthology that is Monsters in a very positive way.
Yeah, these were much more horror-oriented. Mm-hmm. These were more scary than most of season one and two.
For sure. We're going to be kicking it off with episode three from season three. This one aired October 14th of 1990, and its title is Bug House. Have you ever lived in a house filled with bugs?
No.
No?
No, thank God.
Okay. I have had a pet African hissing cockroach. It wasn't just mine. It was the class's. When I was in middle school, we, in one of our classes, had an African hissing cockroach named Fred.
No, thank you. Mm-hmm. We had hamsters when I was in school.
They eat anything. So long as it's partially decaying, like some nasty banana peel.
So they'll eat, like, meat too, if it's disgusting.
Yeah, and they drink from a sponge, so you get like a natural sponge, get some agua on there. Yep,
like a hermit crab.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I like them. They're friendly too.
Ugh.
You got some decomposing foods, just throw it into the cockroach bin. It'll eat anything. Marshmallows, pizza rinds.
I don't think kumquats. Marshmallows decompose.
No.
Although they might eat them because they're pure sugar, which means they're pure energy.
Get some crazy energy in that cockroach.
hissing all over the place.
Yeah. Get enough sugar in a cockroach and they start doing the La Cucaracha dance. So we're going to start this one off with our director, Kenny Myers, our writers, Yosef Anderson and Lisa Tutley. Our actors are Karen Sillis, Robert Kerbeck, and Juliet Kurth. Now, Karen Sillis, you might know her from Peter Benchley's The Beast from 1996. It was a made-for-television movie. I believe it aired on NBC. I saw it when it was on television, on its first airing. It was like a two-parter. They had it on like Friday night, and then the second part of it on Saturday night. It was pretty cool. It was one of the first movies that I saw that had a giant squid in it. It was basically supposed to be like the Kraken, that explained to me what they're all about. So I didn't realize until I watched that they had beaks that they used to rend their food.
Oh, see, I didn't know that until I stumbled across it on the internet, yeah, reading about sushi, and I was a little bit horrified, to be honest.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. When you get tiny squids at, like, sushi places, that they'll actually have the beaks on them. You can crunch them down.
Well, sometimes, mm-hmm, yes. Yeah. I think they try to remove them, but they miss some.
Yeah, well, where I have had them in the past, they were, like, rolled in that General So stuff and then fried.
Yeah.
And they all had the beaks on them. Oh, so really? I thought it was really cool. A little eyeball and the beaks.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't really like my food looking like what it used to be.
I kind of like it to a degree. I think it's a little bit fun.
Calamari in strips, or if I'm going to eat it in its squid form, I want it like breaded and fried, because I don't know. I can't eat a thing that still looks like it could be alive.
Love me some calamari.
I do love calamari. I just don't like it looking like squids.
So this one starts off with Karen Sillis playing as Ellen. She's visiting her sister, Juliet Kurth, who's playing as May. And May is pregnant, about 7 months. Ellen is trying to get her to like help herself out and go see a doctor, because May hasn't seen one. She's putting a lot of her faith in her boyfriend, Peter, played by Robert Kerbeck. And Peter shows up and pretty much starts like flirting with Ellen in a strange way. Asks May who Ellen is. May says that Ellen is her sister. He stares at Ellen and says, "So you are," and just kind of eyes her up and down.
Yeah, it was weird.
She's a little bit skeeved up, but she doesn't have too much time to ruminate on that, because he goes over to May, hikes up her skirt, puts her on top of the stove, and starts feeling up her thigh and kissing her like there's no tomorrow. Real slobbery-like.
Yeah, it's like what you do in private.
May gets pretty hot and bothered by this, so he goes ahead and lifts her up and carries her up the stairs. And Ellen is a little bit behind herself. She stands there staring just kind of blankly, like, what the fuck just happened there?
Yeah.
And we get some plaster from the ceiling falling onto Ellen as we hear Peter pounding May like there's no tomorrow. And May is really enjoying this, because we hear her.
Or she's so afraid of him that she's pretending to enjoy it.
Have you ever been around an awkward situation where friends are fucking in front of you or in a room near you?
I overheard my sister having sex with her now husband.
It's weird.
When she lived at home.
I was younger when I had some friends. I think I was like 20, maybe 19, that got high in front of me and then fucked in the same room while I was like sitting in there doing schoolwork.
Thankfully, not in the same room.
Yeah.
I've never like, that's so gross.
Yeah.
That's grody. Like, you shouldn't do that unless everyone's agreed that it's like really okay.
I remember I was writing a psych paper on the villain Thanos from Marvel Comics and comparing him to, I was comparing Marvel supervillains to historical, like, criminals.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, Red Skull to Adolf Hitler, Thanos to, I don't remember who I compared him to, but anyway, I was doing that, and, like, they're fucking in the same room, and I'm just, like, trying like hell to focus on this stuff, because they're all high and whatnot, and I'm just like, you know, this is weird. They were friends of mine from my childhood, like, a long time ago, and, you know, I hadn't seen them for a long time, for years.
And then that's how they reintroduced themselves.
That was the last time I saw them. So that was strange. Yeah, very weird. Yeah. So it's an awkward situation.
Well,
if you have any awkward situations you'd like to share with us, contact us, kingcakewolf@gmail.com. We'll say it on air. So
so you've never heard family, though.
Family?
That's...
I don't think my mother and father ever had sex after I was born, so I must have been a huge disappointment. ruined sex drives all around.
They were like, shit, another one.
I know that some of my exes can attest to me ruining sex drives, so maybe it's just the curse of the cake wolf. yeah, so we're going to start moving on. We have a transition here. As we come back from a pseudo-commercial break, Ellen is laying on the couch. She is in a bra. Nice bra there. I think Ellen is a sexy piece.
It's black because she wants to have sex with people.
Yeah, that's what it means. Yeah. You see someone with black lingerie, you know they're asking for it.
I wouldn't go that far. But yep. They would like to have sex.
Oh, okay. So it's confirmed, people. It's confirmed. We have a woman's opinion here.
No, that's on 10 Things I Hate About You.
I'm
when
just...
they're digging through her drawer. It's, you don't remember
nope,
that?
Nope, it's confirmed.
Okay.
That's all I'm taking from this.
I mean, there is no other real reason to have black lingerie. It doesn't go under anything except black.
I think you got
so,
black
I mean,
lingerie
nice.
If you have, like, heavy flow or the runs, because then it's not going to show up. If you, like... really want to keep wearing your underwear over and over again, you don't want to have white because that's gonna, you know,
well, this is
stuff.
I do like that one pair of underwear I got that had the black gusset inside mm-hmm. because it hides all
your stuff
the self-cleansing.
Yeah, I don't want to know about this. We're moving on. She's on the bed in her black lingerie.
Oh, and, no, she's on the couch.
On the couch, sorry. And her cover is on her, but not covering her top. We've got Peter just standing over top of her, kind of admiring Ellen's form. And I have to agree with him. She does have a nice form to admire. A bit nicer than May. May isn't an ugly woman, but she is stylized for this episode to look very homely.
Well, and, May is also 7 months pregnant.
Right. Ellen, however, she looks like a hot biker mama. So she's on the couch there. He's looking at her. He's got some breakfast that he's going to give her. Breakfast in couch, I guess. And he does. She covers her breasts up. And so he tells her that he's going to need some money for the tow truck because she had some car problems when she was coming to visit her sister. And she gives him what he needs and he goes on his way. And then geez, what's happening next? I'm kind of drawing a blank here.
Oh, well, so Ellen takes breakfast up to her sister in
That's
bed,
right.
And she happens to notice that her sister's stomach is moving quite violently. Like, I know babies move inside, but this is, like, a lot of movement mm-hmm. and, like, all over the stomach. It's very weird.
Yeah, we got some weird bubbly stuff going on in there. They have kind of a heart-to-heart moment that turns into an argument because... Ellen's asking a lot of questions about Peter, as in, like, you know, just, she's obviously
like,
interested.
Like, how did you meet him? What does he do?
Right. And he doesn't actually do anything, apparently, because May says that he takes care of her. And the way that she met him was, basically, when she moved into her new house,
it was
already
her
there.
Dad's old cabin.
Okay, he was already there. So that's how she met him. And she says to her sister, Ellen... stay away from him. I know that you always want everything that I've had. And she lists a couple of examples.
Yeah, they're all like my green sweater and my red saddle shoes.
Right.
It's all like very, very shallow stuff.
Her pet dinosaur, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
So she's got a history of kind of envying her sister May and wanting what she's got.
Oh, I guess there was a boy that she stole
right.
to. Yeah.
So... we cover that. Ellen leaves perturbed because May throws a fit. Ellen's not taking her seriously. May throws the breakfast in bed on the floor. Ellen starts walking down the stairs. May comes after her and basically tells her that she's sorry for freaking out. She's, you know, stressed out with the pregnancy and everything. And Ellen accepts this apology, kind of just lets it roll. There's a couple of things happening here, just like mood-setting moments. One of them is where Ellen's going to have some coffee. She opens up some sugar container, and there's cockroaches in there. She hears, bugs in the walls constantly,
yeah,
which is a little bit strange. And there's some mood-setting tones of, like, creaky house and just bug noises throughout this episode. There's no music. It's just very atmospheric with these strange tones. And it sets a very horrific scene for what you're watching. I really like it. I feel like the atmosphere is very tight. The acting is very convincing. And there's no, like, excessive fluff.
Yeah, what we're getting is the dialogue are actually really spot on in this episode. Yeah. It feels natural, and they, like, it's very believable that they're sisters and that there's a rivalry going on over this, like, deadbeat guy who's squatting in their dad's old cabin.
Mm-hmm. So we have May going and taking a nap, and Ellen goes up to her room and to another room and starts looking around, just kind of snooping, looking at mail and whatnot. Peter comes behind her, holds his hand over her mouth, and starts getting a little bit too close, and he says that he likes her and blah, blah, blah. He's being kind of skeevy, but Ellen's a little bit smitten. She's a little bit taken by his charms, and he's not like he is skeevy, but he's not like an unattractive dude, and he's very manipulative, I would say.
I mean, I don't think he's very attractive. I don't think he's very attractive. I feel like there's something deeper going on with his character.
Sure.
That's unexplainable that these women are drawn to him.
But he wants her, and he tells her that. He tells her that he can make the pain go away for May and make her feel really good. And he would like to make all of the discomforts in Ellen's life go away and make her feel good. Ellen's a little bit worried about May hearing them. He tells her not to worry about it, so she whispers in his ear, "Make me feel good."
Well, first he tells her, then don't make a lot of noise.
Right. Yeah. So he does make her feel good.
Super gross.
A couple of times, and that works out for Ellen. She's feeling pretty nice about this. Unfortunately, May catches them in the act, and so she goes and runs away, you know, all beaten up emotionally. Ellen comes down after her, and as she's coming down, I think, like, her hand goes into the wall. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, her hand goes into the wall. There's bugs in the wall. There's bugs all over the floor.
Yeah.
I think the plaster was still falling.
Yeah. Like,
the house is literally just falling apart because it's filled with bugs.
It's weird when her hand goes into the wall, like, creating this wound in the structure of the house. The bugs being in there, it just reminds me of, like a decaying carcass. Like, when you were a kid, did you ever find a puffed-out body of an animal and poke it with a stick?
No, I didn't do gross things.
Yeah, I remember doing that with a friend of mine when I was, probably 8 or something.
Is
I was like pretty little.
Is this, like, a rule of boyhood? Like, are you supposed to do all the disgusting things? Like, touch all the rotting things with all the germs and maggots in them?
I guess. We had found a rabbit that was really puffy in the sun, and we poked it, and it popped open. There were all of these maggots in there. It was real nasty, and they were all writhing. That's one of the memories that sticks with me.
I kind of knew not to poke dead things because they smelled and were full of bugs.
Yeah.
I didn't have to see it for myself.
It was a very terrifying moment as a kid. And this, like, house moment where her hand goes through there kind of reminisces of that.
Maybe that's why this episode seems to bother you.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me as much as it seemed
to
bother
I thought this
you.
Was a scary episode. So what happens next is we've got May saying that she doesn't want to go on, she can't take it anymore, she has a butcher knife that she's holding to her stomach. Peter tells her to put it down, and she can't help but listen to him. He moves her to the couch because she starts having contractions, and he tells her that she's basically going to give birth and she's going to die. And Ellen's telling her, no, she's not going to die, I'm going to go get a doctor and get help. Peter tells her that's not going to happen. He goes over to Ellen and licks her on the neck, but it's like this really quick tongue flick, and it's not a normal tongue. It's like
a bug tongue, he said.
Yeah, it looks like a bug tongue. It has prongs on the tips of the tongue and these little holes inside of the prongs. It looks weird.
Now, can cockroaches paralyze their prey?
I don't know.
We should have looked that up before we started the show.
Yeah,
I
don't
know.
Because
I wonder if that's a thing that cockroaches do.
I couldn't tell you. But, yeah, some bugs can, for sure.
Yeah, spiders do that.
Sure. So basically, he goes and helps May give birth. He says that he's done this many, many times before. And so she's giving birth, and it's a very tense and stressful scene for me, because Ellen's sitting there on one of the chairs, and all she can do is watch, because she's paralyzed, and she's, like, screaming, but she can't move, really, and she's trying to move. You can see her, like, move her arm a little bit. She's stressing to do it. The baby comes out, and May drops dead.
Yeah, immediately.
The baby is really weird. It's kind of like a really pudgy centipede, and it has
a giant bug.
Yeah, and it has, like, these pincers on it. It's like an amalgamation of insects, because it's got qualities of, like, a pincer bug, like a centipede, a maggot, a couple of things going on there. It's very slimy, too, and very weird-looking. A little bit looks a little bit like a tremor, like a baby tremor. And I don't know. It's creepy. So he's holding that up, and he makes kissy faces at it. He says, isn't it beautiful? And
all my babies are beautiful.
Oh, yeah, all my babies are beautiful. And Ellen looks at the baby as he's bringing it closer to her. She looks at her sister, who now is full of maggots,
yeah,
like all over her arm.
Decomposing.
It looks nasty. And she finally manages to get some strength, reaches up and I think she's trying to grab at the kid to kill it, but she manages to grab Peter's hair, and she just, like, pulls with all of her strength, and it pulls part of his face off, like half of his face, and he's like insectoid underneath. So we've got, like, half of a human face and half of this, like, partial insect face. It looks really creepy.
See,
and he's
it looked
got
like
these,
his,
like,
flesh was just rotting off.
Okay.
Like, it seemed
well,
like
I
his
saw,
skin just fell off, and it was just, like, muscle.
I saw, like, really thick hairs sticking out.
Oh,
kind
okay.
of like in the movie The Fly, he had
okay.
those really thick hairs.
I mean, it would make more sense if he was kind of insectoid.
Yeah.
It's because I was kind of
it was like
surprised
a,
he didn't look more like a bug.
It was a mix between, like, a rotting human, like that, and a bug. Like a strange,
okay.
like a necro bug.
I didn't catch the hairs.
It's strange.
So,
she screams, and it transitions from there to her in bed. Everything has a very brighter tone at this point. Throughout the rest of the episode, things have a very grayish blue tone to it to make it seem like depressing, almost
dingy.
Mm-hmm. And now everything's very bright. She's pregnant and she's laying in the bed. She says, Peter, please don't ever leave me. And he says, I never will. And he brings her breakfast in bed, and they hold hands together, and you can see her stomach now writhing.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where our episode ends.
Pretty gross. This episode was pretty gross.
Pretty fantastic episode, though. What would you say about the monster here?
Oh, I thought the monster was great because, like, he felt like a very believable asshole. Like, he was clearly a deadbeat, but they tend to still attract people somehow. And, like, he wasn't just pure evil either. He brought them breakfast in bed. It's almost like, you know, the people will do things to keep you saying, oh, well, he's not that bad a guy. He
right.
does treat me well sometimes.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a very realistic monster.
I like the monster a lot. I really like the baby bug thing. I'm going to give this one a 5 because I think it's creepy as fuck. What about other media here? We've got a short movie from the Masters of Horror show, which was like hour-long episodes that were done by famous directors. Lucky McKee did this one I'm going to talk about. It aired January 13th of 2006. The episode is called Sick Girl. And Mick Garris wrote this one, as well as Sean Hood. And the actress that is worthy to note in here, is Angela Bettis, who plays Ida Teeter. Also, Aaron Brown playing Misty Falls. So Angela Bettis, I love her acting. I think she was amazing in May. And she does a fantastic job in this one. This one's about lesbians. One of them, I think it's only one of them, is like works with bugs, basically. She finds a unique bug that bites her, and there's some strange sex, like lesbian sex stuff going on while she's sort of turning into this bug thing. It's a very strange episode, mm-hmm. but it's a lot of fun, and it's got some really cool special effects and a pretty decent twist to it. So definitely check that one out.
Well, I think also Afterbirth could work for this. Just fast forward through most of the film and stop for the last 20 minutes, right?
I think it was like 15 minutes, the last 15 minutes.
Okay, the last 15 minutes.
Because you also get a recap for the rest of the movie, so yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because the rest of the movie is just... setting her up to look like the most horrible, dirtiest, biggest, grossest person alive.
I honestly hated the movie Anti-Birth for the entirety of it, except for the last, like, 15 minutes, like Cake Bitch said, which were really fun, but the rest of the movie's awful. Boring as shit. Yeah.
I stopped watching. I only found out that it got good for the last... So they should just make an episode of Monsters out of the
essentially.
Last 15 minutes of that
yeah.
show. I mean,
yeah.
the movie.
I know Darian go. Brock watched that recently, too. He wasn't too impressed.
No, it's not very impressive.
The monster at the end is really cool, though.
But yeah, it's a weird pregnancy movie.
So, changing anything for this episode, I wouldn't change anything, and I do think it could work as a movie. I think it would be a very scary movie, because this one creeped me out.
This one did not creep me out as much, but I definitely think that in the right hands, they could turn this into, like, a really scary horror movie.
For sure, yeah. So, is there a lesson here?
Don't sleep with your sister's boyfriend or he'll impregnate you with a bug?
Yeah, I think that if you meet someone that's just kind of living in this house you just moved into, maybe get them kicked out.
That's
like,
true.
Don't fuck them.
That too, because he was squatting in their abandoned cabin that was already, I guess, falling apart to a certain point.
I think we mentioned this lesson before in other episodes. Basically, be careful about who you let into your life. You want to also let them in slowly because you don't really know what's behind the eyes. There could be some very strange things going on, and I've met some very strange people.
Trust me, there could be some very strange things behind those cake wolf eyes.
Yep, I've definitely had to block my fair share of weirdos from my life. So, episode rating here, I'm giving this one a 5 as well. I think this one is one of the strongest episodes. It's right up there with Mr. Schwalber and The Match Game.
I am going to give it a 4.5.
Okay.
Just because I'm excited to see if season 3 has something that's even more wowable.
Okay.
And, you know, I like goofy things, so I can't give it a 5.
Sure.
This one was kind of horrifying.
So we're going to move on to our next episode. This is episode 4 of season 3. This one's titled Cellmates, and it is airing October 21st of 1990. So get a time machine and go back. You can watch it on television for its first running. Director Stephen Tolkien, writer David Odell, actors Maxwell Caulfield, Ferdy Main, David Sarge, Gino Silva. Stephen Tolkien is someone we have here as our writer, and they are the writer behind the short-running television series titled Legend of the Seeker. This is not horror. The reason why I'm bringing it up is because I love the Terry Brooks book series, Wizard's First Rule, which this show is based on. This show basically takes this amazing book series that is right up there with some of the greats. I feel as though it's a strong runner for things in it's a strong runner for as good as The Lord of the Rings, in my opinion.
Oh.
It's got some very awesome horror tones to it and torture tones for those people out there that like to get that part of their brain tickled. And some cool monsters. Very awesome fantasy epic with some horror tones peppered throughout. And this TV show basically takes that awesome book series and turns it into like Hercules, the legendary journey. Like it's episodic. It's not serialized. It's like each episode is kind of like a standalone happy adventure of these, you know, goofy dudes going through a land and fighting evil. Like it's so family friendly, it's disgusting.
So, and you would not recommend the TV show?
No, I would not. They basically make...
You would not recommend what the guy actually wrote?
I would recommend... yeah. I would recommend the book series, but not the TV show, because the TV show is complete and utter shit and has nothing to do with the books except taking the characters' names and some of the very, like, generalized highlights of it and making them family-friendly. So it's just writing and capitalizing on the fact that this was a very popularized book series, and they did this during the time when they were making the Lord of the Rings movies.
So they were trying to ride on those coattails.
Yeah. It's garbage. Fuck this show, Legend of the Seeker, and yeah, fuck everyone involved with it. I hope
they
all...
Everything that you're saying makes me feel like I would probably watch it and think it's great.
Fuck you! Moving on.
Everything you hate about it. Goofy men on adventures fighting evil.
Anyway, our other writer is a good boy. David Odell is the writer behind the Masters of the Universe film. We've covered him before. And yep, I love him because he wrote that awful, excellent movie starring Courtney Cox. And
that was a live action one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dolph Lundgren, Courtney Cox.
You love him for writing this awful movie.
Fuck yeah. All right. So, Cellmates, we're going to let Kate Bitch cover this one. So, go right ahead. Dig on in. So, and this is also why we played that strange intro for you, by the way. So, you'll know why as we go through this. Lots of mentions of taco heads in this.
Yeah, I wasn't going to cover that in depth, but...
Well, the dude says taco heads and bean breath all the time throughout this episode. He's incredibly...
I was going to mention it, but I wasn't going to, like, hammer it home.
Yeah, his name's Timothy, and he's incredibly racist.
I thought maybe his name was Timothy because he scraped his name into the wall, I assumed. So it's good to know. I'm just going to refer to him as Rich Guy.
Yeah. That's fine.
So... there is a rich guy who is apparently visiting, I assume, Mexico, but it probably could have been any Central American city because this guy's just racist. He manages to get himself arrested and thrown in jail. And as the guard is throwing him into his cell, he's like taking his Porsche keys and his cowboy boots, which the guy is like really, really attached to. So, I mean, the guy is a total douchebag, and you can tell right off the bat because he is pretentious. And his cowboy boots are ugly. They're ugly. There is an old man in the next cell. He has a mirror, and the guy kind of blends into the cell. He's kind of like in a heap on the floor, kind of napping with a blanket thrown over him or something. And a rich guy reaches in to take his mirror. And he wakes up and immediately knows, like, this guy is no good. And this old man in the next cell says, oh, you're in the bad cell. Bad things happen to people in that cell. And rich guy basically says, hey, I was just a tourist minding my own business, and now here I am. I'm not a bad guy. And the old man shares with him that he's been in his cell for a very long time and shares a story about how he's there because he wouldn't give up his land to the rich and powerful, so they threw him in jail. So later that night... Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. Yeah, the guard... This is the first instance of bean breath. The guard brings the old man some water but doesn't bring any for the rich guy.
Yeah.
And the rich guy says, hey, bean breath, bring me water. Like, that's going to help.
Yeah.
He's awful. Later that night, though, the old man is annoying the rich guy by singing, I guess, a traditional tune.
Yeah.
It's supposed to sound traditional. I don't know whether it actually is.
I thought it sounded nice.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, too. But I could see, like, if you're trying to sleep and there's an old guy in the cell next to you, just...
Well, I mean, the old guy... I feel like he needs to give this old guy some room to be himself, because old guy not only gave him some water, but
also shared the mirror with him.
Also didn't bark when the dude didn't pay him for the water like he said he would. also gave him the mirror that he had.
I didn't even think about that, but that makes it even more relevant to the clip that we played earlier.
He's like, hey, I'm going to give you $100 for that water. Guy gives him the water. He's like, you want to take a traveler's check? And then he also gives the dude Timothy his mirror because Timothy wants to look in the mirror. And then Timothy basically breaks the mirror.
and that's what he uses to etch his name into a point
so he can etch his name into the wall like a douchebag.
He's just an asshole. Later on, I guess the next day, rich guy's lawyer shows up and says, hey, listen, I'm going to try and work this out, but I can't spring you immediately. And the rich guy, of course, has a mental breakdown and is like, what do you mean? It was an accident. I didn't see the kid. And then all of a sudden, there were taco heads everywhere.
Yeah.
And what he's actually in jail for is not because he apparently ran over a kid because he was going way too fast in his Porsche.
Yeah.
But because he punched a cop in the nose, or the face, and ruined his dental work.
Yeah.
So they apparently took him at his word that it was a mistake that he ran over the child. It was an accident.
It's just a mistake.
Just a mistake.
We'll let you slide.
But... I have to drive my car fast because it's safer that way.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. And he keeps talking about his dad running the savings bank and loan or whatever. Yeah.
His dad is George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life. He runs the savings and loan.
And Rich Guy is vice president because he probably can't get a job anywhere but with his dad because he's a complete and utter moron. Oh, this is still sounding very, very relevant to the clip we played earlier in the show.
Yeah.
So he's stuck in jail. And the old man says, you know, old people go missing at night. The old gods do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds out later that this old man might have something to do with it. So later that night, the old man's chanting again. Rich guy seems to be sleeping okay this time, or at least he's not screaming at the old guy and making a bunch of noise and trying to intimidate him into stopping this whole mess. And the old man's standing in the moonlight chanting, and his skin starts melting, and then his body starts melting, and he turns into this puddle of goo.
Yeah, it looks like the stuff from that 1980s movie that is basically like The Blob, but people are eating it because it's mass marketed. It's the stuff that came from outer space that... started growing in the earth and was bubbling up from the ground.
And
people
like oil.
Found it, ate it, thought it tasted great, and start mass marketing it to the world. And when people eat it, they basically, they like decompose from the inside like a cancer. And this stuff, this blob stuff, controls them and makes them into sort of like body snatcher automatons.
Yeah.
Very cool movie. That's basically the the other media recommendation. Because this... This monster that he turns into, this ooze, looks just like the stuff.
Yeah, it's a little thinner than the stuff.
Yeah. But
it's very stuff-like.
And it's white.
Yes.
Like cum.
Ew. Okay, so he starts melting. He goes into the rich guy's cell and reaches up and tries to pull the rich guy off his cot. And rich guy fights back by stabbing the goo with the sharpened mirror that he stole from the old guy. And so the goo kind of runs away into the drain and says, I'll be back mañana. So the guard comes the next morning. The old man's not in the cell. And the guard's like, well, he always comes back.
Yeah.
So the guy's like, listen, I have to get out of the cell. He offers to pay the guard $5,000 in traveler's checks.
Yeah.
He said, I'll tie you up. So it'll look like I just escaped and you won't get in trouble.
Yeah.
And the guard's like, no, I don't want your fucking money. So,
he's a fucking child killer. I don't want anything from him either.
Yeah, I wouldn't let him out of that cell. He deserves everything he's getting here. So his lawyer, rich guy's lawyer, comes back and he's like, man, I'm a miracle worker. I'm gonna get this all set up. We'll talk about bail, blah, blah, blah. And the guy says, listen, I need to get out of here now because there's a thing that came and attacked me in the middle of the night. think the old guy has something to do with it. Look at my arm. And the lawyer goes, I'm a lawyer, not a dermatologist. And stands up and gets real.
I'm a doctor, not a fool,
just,
man.
Just, like, super angry and upset with rich dude. Valid. And it turns out, we find out that from his lawyer, that this guy also had a shit ton of drug money in his Porsche. And this is why it's going to be a little hard to spring him, except if they can pay them off with the drug money.
Yeah.
And so that's what he suggests. Oh, the rich dude gets all angry about the fact that he has to give up all his drug money. And, well, he pisses off his lawyer, he pisses off the guard, and so now they have literally chained him in his cell.
Yeah.
To the wall.
Yeah. He basically puts this mirror to the guard's neck, because the guard sees something on the floor that he's going to reach for. I think it was like a, I don't know what it was, like some...
Was it the tiger eye?
Some, like, piece of silver jewelry or something. And that's when he takes the mirror to the guard's neck. So, yeah, he threatened the guard's life. He's being an ass. Of course they're going to shackle him up. And now he's just completely fucked. He's the sacrificial lamb at this point.
Yeah, he's done. And, like, the guard knows what's up. Yeah. So the guard's like, you're dead, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So they chain up the rich guy. And that night, the goo comes back. And it climbs up his leg. Up his crotch, up his chest, and just, like, all goes into his mouth.
Great special effects here.
Yeah, it was pretty good, actually. I didn't really think about it. I actually got lost in these episodes. Yeah. These are really well done. Anyways, the goo climbs into his mouth. The next morning, it's the old man chained up in that cell.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rich guy is just gone.
Yeah.
The rich guy isn't old. I keep saying old rich guy. I'm getting my characters.
Yeah, he's gone. The wise old man is there in his stead. The lawyer shows up and is like, what the fuck happened here? Old man's just like, I did my thing. And then he puts his sunglasses on and smiles.
Oh, and he asks the guard for a glass of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was pretty fucking slow. Badass.
Yeah.
I liked it. What would you say that you would rate this monster?
Oh, I liked the monster. Yeah. I liked that they made it this old man, and,
he's like a vengeful spirit that can turn into ectoplasm.
I guess he might be a vengeful spirit. I kind of took him more as a supernatural being. Like they say the old gods do it, so I kind of assumed he was more...
It's like Lady Justice, kind of. Like,
demon-y, then.
Fighting for the dead. I love it. So I'm gonna give this one a... Oh, man, I love my slime monsters, like blob creatures.
I mean, if it helps, the I'm blob, giving him a
the
four.
Stuff, Kaltiki, Slime City, Street Trash. There's so many good ones. The Incredible Melting Man. So many good ones. I'm gonna give this one a 5. I love it.
Okay.
I love slime monsters.
And I'm
I just
giving
can't
it
get
a
over
4.
It.
I think it was really solid monster.
Yeah.
I think it was less convincing than that lizard man.
Yeah.
I can't even remember.
Yeah,
what
I just have
was,
I just have
was,
inside me
I
this
mean it was a pretty cool monster.
Love for slime creatures.
That's
so
fine.
They're like one of my favorite monsters.
I mean, it was really cool, and it was really well done.
I wouldn't really change anything for this. I think it could work as a movie. I think you could start it off with something like this and then take that guy who turns into the slime somewhere else. And make him, like, you know, not really, like, go into who or what he is so much, but have him, like, be a traveling dude that ends up somewhere else with all this corruption going on. And, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like you could mix this one in with, like, an action horror movie, like John Carpenter's Vampires. That's one I always comment on when I talk action horror. Because I feel like that's one of the best action horror movies out there. And I feel like this one could be a cool action horror movie with a vengeful blob dude that fights crime.
Oh, so you're framing him more less, I mean, less as a monster, more like Vigilante.
Yeah.
Vigilante?
Yeah.
Vigilante?
I think it could work. I think it'd be cool as shit. So, yeah, let's see that. I don't think it was scary, but it was definitely fun. The lesson here, obviously...
Don't run over children.
You're gonna get your due desserts.
Don't traffic drugs.
Everything comes full circle.
Be nice to old dudes.
Don't expect all things to be good when you are a bastard.
Respect other cultures.
Karma is a bitch.
Don't punch cops in the face.
Lots of good lessons. Episode rating here, I'm giving it a 4. I think it was cool shit.
Yeah, I guess I'll give it a 4 too. I was going to give it a 4.5. I think I gave the last episode a 4.5. And, I mean, I guess they're about the same, but this one was less scary. This one was a little more goofy.
A little bit hammy.
And, you know, like, oh, God, that guy. I'm so glad he died.
Yeah, so I liked it. Just want to say, before we close this...
You said a little bit hammy, and I immediately thought of my little nephew, who is adorable.
Before we close this out, I want to just do a quick congratulations to our friends, Dustin and Patrick, who recently got married.
Yay!
In Scotland they got married?
No, they're in Scotland now. They got married before they left.
Gotcha.
Okay. Is the thing not playing?
No, it doesn't want to play.
It doesn't. It's a wedding song.
Yeah, there it goes. So, yeah, you want to just say something nice to Patrick and Dustin in case they listen to this?
I mean, they're, like, the most wonderful people I've ever known.
They're two gay men, by the way.
They're perfect for each other. Yes, if you didn't get the fact that they're Dustin and Patrick.
Well, I actually had two friends growing up. They were both named Patrick. One was a boy, one was a girl.
Patrick is a girl's name? Anyways, we're getting off topic.
They're
wonderful. They're beautiful. They're perfect for each other. They're both horror fans, so Matt loves them too.
Yeah.
But they're just so complimentary, and they still go on dates. I mean, Matt and I's romance doesn't even compare.
Yeah, I'm pretty lazy.
But yay, they got married, and I'm so happy for them.
So yeah, closing this one out with the intro to the show Monsters, and thanks for joining us today. Join us tomorrow for some more episodes of Monsters, and we'll see you then. I still haven't thought of a good way to close.
We'll be back mañana.
Yeah, sure. That'll work for now. See ya, folks.
Honey, it's family hour. There must be something on.
Oh!
Oh, great! It's Monsters, our favorite show!
Shh! It's starting.